brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Welcome, everyone out there. We have had an absolutely fabulous day here in Denver, Colorado. And we're on our flagship internet station, KGOV.com. The network that makes this all possible, the Information Radio Network, and our broadcast flagship station here in Denver, KLTT Radio. And to all of our affiliates and friends around the country, hello. And Israel's fighting for their lives, and I think doing a great job. What is it now? They are in control of the five major cities in Israel with two to go, Jericho and Hebron. And then that's it. They're in control of the vast majority of the population, all the major cities of the Palestinians. And that's what you got to do to stop terrorists. You stop them. Hey, in New York City, well, the Republicans had their way and Bloomberg became the mayor. And now his policy, he's pushing to require doctors to be trained as abortionists in all the city hospitals. To require. And he's the Republican that Republicans all over the country were rooting for. Why? I guess because he's a rabid pro-abort. He's a child killer, and I maybe that's one of the reasons they wanted him in there. So he could follow in the steps of child killer Rudolph Giuliani. Also, I want to tell you guys a story about a young woman who became a Christian this week. In fact, it was on Easter Sunday at Denver Bible Church. And what an Easter we had. Easter, it really made Resurrection Day for us in a special way because a young woman became a Christian on that day. I want to tell you that story because she came to church a few months ago and we're not a very nice church. At least that's the reputation we have. People who come to the church absolutely love it. That's why they come. But she came and she said to her friends, "That's a mean church you have." And she was really mad at us. And then she came back and she became a Christian. And what a beautiful time it was talking with her and seeing that young woman come to the Lord humbly. It's just a wonderful time. So I want to tell you about that. And then, actually, let's start with this because this is big. It turns out that NASA and the scientists at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, have found an asteroid orbiting the sun. It's named 1950 DA. And it turns out that this asteroid could impact the Earth with the explosive force of millions of tons of dynamite. Now, didn't they make a movie about that? I'm shouting out to my studio audience. Two movies about that. What were the names of the movies? Deep Impact and something about blowing up or explosions or the end of the world. Armageddon. Okay, so they made movies about that. And now it looks like NASA has found the asteroid that can do it. And this asteroid is, let's see, how big is it? It's 6/10 of a mile wide. So I'd say we get the producers of which movie did they succeed in? Both of them? They saved the Earth in both of them? All right, I'd say we get the producers of those movies and let NASA hire them and figure out, send a manned ship to that thing and put a bomb on it and blow it up. It's only 6/10 of a mile. We could blow that thing up. Anyway, so how long until it's going to hit us? Let me see this article here by the Associated Press out today, Thursday, April 4th. Let's see, a new asteroid, sun, I'm smashing the Earth, explosive millions, TNT. Here it is. Experts say the potential impact is still 878 years away. 878 years away? We might not even be living by then. I don't care how many vitamins I take. I might not be alive by then, 878 years from now. Well, in 878 years from now, you know, that asteroid, its orbit, I think, is going to decay. I really do. I don't think we have much to worry about. Of course, by then, we would do that. If it was an actual threat, we would send a space probe out to it and pack a wallop on it, not just cameras and scientific research, but put a nice nuclear warhead on it and blow it to smithereens. So that'd be fun, and we would do that as long as conservatives are still in control by then. If liberals are in control, they wouldn't want to pollute the universe with nuclear material. And they would say, after all, Mother Nature created the asteroid, and we just have to let Mother Nature have its way, the way liberals let forest fires burn Yellowstone National Park to cinders. So maybe the liberals would do that. Hopefully conservatives would be in charge by then. But I wanted to talk about, why are there meteorites that strike the Earth occasionally? Why are there asteroids? Why are there comets? If the evolutionists are right and the astrophysicists are right, those who explain our existence in the universe and the solar system apart from the creation of God, then there shouldn't be any asteroids. There shouldn't be any comets. There shouldn't be any meteors in the solar system. Because the way they, you know how they said we all, if our solar system came into existence? Well, first you had the Big Bang. When was the Big Bang? Maybe I'll have to give out the phone number and somebody out there knows. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Now, when was the Big Bang? Well, let me see. What time is it? It's okay. It's 9:13 Eastern time. 9:13, 04, 05, 6 seconds, 7 seconds. Okay. Okay, well, then that, I guess that means it's about 20 billion years old. You see, the universe gets a billion years older every few years. So you got to keep up. You got to keep up with your reading, or you'll have no idea how old the universe is. Because every few years, the scientists figure out, uh-oh, this couldn't happen. We have to make the universe older. So they make it older. When I grew up, how old was the universe when I was in school? I seem to recall it was about 6 billion years old. And that was back in the 60s when I was in grammar school. So the universe has aged 14 billion years in the last 40 years. That's pretty good.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christ-like, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Benyard rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child rearing delivered by Pastor Enyart to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
We're back. Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. So I think I got it right. I think that the Big Bang occurred, well, supposedly, it didn't occur. But if it did, it's said to have occurred about 20 billion years ago. And then some stars were created. See, the Big Bang was an explosion that created infinite order. Normally, explosions don't create order, but this was a special explosion. So it created all this order. And one of the stars that were formed from the Big Bang, it lived its long and happy life. And then billions of years ago, it became a supernova, and it exploded. And when it exploded, the result of that supernova, it created all the elements, the raw elements that we have in our solar system. And some of those elements, somehow, they all got together and decided from the explosion to form a swirling cloud. A swirling cloud of matter. And it swirled in space, and as gravity, you know, gravity will, things will attract themselves to one another. And so they began to condense, and the cloud got denser and denser and heavier. It just condensed, and it got smaller, and as it got smaller, it got denser. And pretty soon that cloud, that's actually what became our solar system. And in the middle of it was the sun, of course. And as the cloud was spinning, you had the sun, and then all the planets flew off one way or another, or they were the tentacles that weren't quite spinning as tightly, and they coalesced, and they became the planets. And a bunch of the planets, they had moons. And the moons spun around the planets, and the planets spun around the sun, and you have a happy solar system that happened just by absolute random circumstances, with no design whatsoever. Now, if that were true, here's what we would find. But by the way, you know Isaac Newton? Have you ever heard of Isaac Newton? Let me ask the public school teachers out there. Have you ever heard of Isaac Newton? Now, I don't want to ask the science public school teachers, because that would be cheating, because to be a science public school teacher in this country, you don't have to know a lick of science. You don't have to have taken any science in your training whatsoever. And in my experience, that's not surprising. So anyway, I'll ask other public school teachers. Have you ever heard of Isaac Newton? Well, he's described as the most brilliant scientist who ever lived. And this was presented to him, this idea that, oh, and Isaac Newton, how smart was he? He's the one who figured out what color is. Imagine if somebody gave you that job. Say, now, go in your room and don't come out until you can explain what makes some things blue and other things red. Now, Isaac Newton is the one who explained that to us. And Isaac Newton also is the one who explained gravity to us, that all mass attracts all other mass. My four-year-old son, we were having dinner a couple nights ago. Jason Troyer was over. And I asked Zachary, I picked up a napkin. I said, Zachary, if I drop this, if I let this go, will it fall down or fall up? And he said, it'll fall down. And I said, why does it fall down? Why doesn't it fall up? And he said, because the earth pulls it down. That's pretty good, Zachary. Keep working on your homeschooling. Good job, son. And then somebody asked him about the moon. I said, how about the moon? And he said, well, the moon pulls up. That's pretty good, Zachary. Very good. Keep up your studies. Well, Anyway, if this cloud was swirling and the planets are swirling and the moons are all swirling and everything's moving in generally the same direction, which is good, because if you had a swirling cloud, oh, did I finish Isaac Newton? He said, by the way, that can't happen. He said, that can't happen. You can't have a swirling cloud of matter become the solar system, the planets, the movements of the planets, and the sun. It would not happen. It's contrary to a rational understanding of the laws of physics. It just wouldn't happen. And he was right, of course. But anyway, everything should be spinning in the same direction. There's a law to that effect called the conservation of angular momentum. Things are spinning and they keep spinning. If you have a merry-go-round spinning and you put a basketball on it, and yet the merry-go-round is spinning, and the basketball will end up spinning. And if the basketball flies off the merry-go-round, it'll be going in generally the same direction, and it will be spinning in the same direction as the merry-go-round was spinning. It's the conservation of angular momentum. Well, there's a problem for the atheists who believe in the Big Bang. And the problem is this. It's that Venus is spinning backwards. Houston, we have retrograde rotation of Venus, Houston. Come in, Galileo, come in. You're breaking up. Come in. Houston, we have retrograde rotation of Venus. Huh? Yeah, Venus is spinning backwards. And so is Uranus. They're spinning backwards. Now, they cannot be spinning backwards if they coalesced off a spinning cloud from a supernova from the Big Bang. They can't be spinning backwards. Not only that, how many moons do we have in the solar system? How many moons do we have? What's the latest number? Well, God knows exactly how many moons we have. But I think we have, what, 57 moons? Latest count? Something like that. How many of them are spinning backwards? One-third of them. A third of the moons are spinning backwards. You know the moons in Jupiter? Jupiter's four large moons that Galileo found with his telescope? The inside moon, they all spin in this beautiful harmony. The closest in moon spins around. It's on its merry way. And when it goes around once, wait, let me say this. It goes around eight times in exactly the amount of time the next moon out goes around four times. Exactly the amount of times the next moon out goes around two times. Exactly. Exactly. And the farthest moon out, the fourth one, when the inside one goes around eight times, it goes around one time. Now, how do you make a Swiss watch with perfect precision so that the second hand goes around exactly 60 times for the minute hand to go around one time? The hour hand to go to 1 hour. Now the outside moon of Jupiter's four moons, the perfect precision, the outside one is no longer perfect, but it was pretty obviously perfect to start with. And just like we saw, what did we see crash into Jupiter? Shoemaker Levy 9. And so sometime in the past, some large comet came too near to Jupiter's fourth moon out and took it ever so slightly off its perfect synchronicity. And we have moons that go around for every two times the one moon goes around, another moon goes around exactly three times. What is it, out in Pluto with two moons? Is it Pluto or Uranus? Where it has two moons, one's inside, one's outside, and every time when they pass each other, they flip places and the outside one goes in and the inside one goes out and it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And all that just happened by an accidental explosion. Let's go to Indiana. Jerry, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Howdy.
I'm just listening to your comments about the universe.
Yes, sir.
For a long time now, I've had this, I don't know where it came from, but just out of nowhere, I got this silly question in my mind.
Yeah.
And it's when God said, let there be light, the light we see was here instantaneously. It was here right now, even though the stars were thousands of light years away. So my question is...
I think that's close. I don't think that's exactly right, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, assuming that's correct, when I look at a star, am I looking at where that star was thousands of light years ago, or am I looking at it where it was 6,000 years ago?
Okay, God said, let there be light, and he filled the universe with light.
Right.
But there are other verses. A few times, the Bible adds a little bit of information to that.
Uh-huh.
It says that he stretched the heavens. He stretched the heavens into their place.
So the stars could have been closer.
No, not that. He created the universe, the galaxies, the stars in our galaxy. And if you can create the universe, you can create light.
Oh, yeah.
If you could create a star, you can create it fully mature. If you could create a seed, you could create a tree. And the tree looks like it's 30 years old, but God just created it that day. And Adam wasn't created as a fertilized egg. He was created as a grown man.
Right.
So God created the universe mature. But when he created the galaxies around us that we see in the stars, what the Bible says, and it says it consistently, is that he stretched out the heavens. And so what I think he did was he created the stars, and then he literally pulled the light throughout the universe in every direction. He pulled it. So the light that we see has actually traveled the distance that it would take to get from those stars to the earth, only he pulled it. He stretched it. He brought it here. And how quickly could he do that? Well, if he wanted to, I imagine, he could do it in an instant.
Uh-huh.
So I would process that in with your question and think God would begin stretching the light from where those stars were at that time. So I don't know. That's a good one. That's a good question you have.
I don't know why it's nagging at me, but
it's a good question. Hey, if we knew the answer for sure, it could tell us a lot more about creation and the universe.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe somebody listening has some other ideas they could add.
Yeah, well, we have a researcher in South Bend, a retired computer science guy, Bob Ball, and maybe he'll get back to us on it.
Okay, I'll be listening.
All right.
I love your show, Bob.
Jerry, thanks for calling. God
You're
bless
welcome.
You.
Bye now.
All right, so Venus is spinning backwards. And so are one-third of the moons. Not only that, if the cloud was spinning, and most of the cloud, 98.8% of the 99.8% of the cloud became the sun, because the sun makes up 99.8% of the solar system. And then the planets, we make up just a little tiny bit of the mass of the solar system. Well, since the sun makes up almost all of the mass of the solar system, all the weight, all the matter, then the spin, the sun should have almost all the spin of the solar system. 99% of the spin of the solar system, of the circular momentum of our solar system, should be in the sun, but it's not. It's not. In reality, the opposite is true. About 98% of the angular momentum of the solar system is in the planets. So you have this huge cloud that's spinning, and it coalesces, it condenses, and then it shoots out planets with this enormous, powerful spin, but the cloud itself stops spinning. Now, what force stopped the sun from spinning? It's pretty silly. That couldn't happen. Oh, yeah, and Jupiter's moon is erupting. And by the way, in billions of years, the sun would have brought all the asteroids and meteors into it. Hey, Bob Enyard here. I want to give out our product line because... It's not actually confusing, but our on-air call-in line and our product line are similar. We're in a commercial break. We're doing a live spot. Our call-in line is 1-800. Our product line is 1-888. And during the show, sometimes we use both phone banks. So people sometimes call the product line and end up getting on the show. But normally, during the day or any time somebody wants to order a product, they call 1-888-8-NYART. And for our newer listeners, I'll spell that. It's 1-888. Well, if you're listening right now, you're listening on the web, and you clicked on where it said Bob Inyart Live, so you know how it's spelled. But 1-888-8-ENYART. 1-888-8-NYART. That's 836-9278. If you would like to contact us to get any of the materials we offer, we have somebody ordered last week pretty much every audio album we have. Are we all out of stock now? Everything's gone? Everything's gone. Our inventory guy is actually here, even though it's in the evening. He's here, and he's telling, everything's not gone. He only ordered one of everything. He didn't order, we only had one of, we had more than one of everything. He didn't order everything of everything. He ordered one of everything. So we have about 25 audio albums that teach through different parts of the Bible. Eventually, if I live long enough, then we'll most likely get through the whole Bible. But what we've started with is an overview of the Bible and something we call the plot. Now, yes, we have a manuscript called The Plot, but we also have audio tapes, The Plot of the Bible. And we have, and you listen to The Plot audio tapes, and you do get an overview of the whole Bible. And you might be new, brand new Christian. You might have been a Christian for 40 years. Either way, we've had so many people make the most wonderful comments to us saying, I read the Bible. I read it through. Some people told me I've read it through 6 or 8 times. And I was so frustrated because so much of it seemed confusing and contradictory. And the reason is I never stopped. I take every chapter as though it was an independent work of literature. And I never stop to get an overview of the whole Bible. That's where we start, and that's where we would like to start you. We're back, Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. We're going to California. Johnny, speak your mind.
Hey, hi, Bob. How are you doing this evening?
Doing great, sir.
Hey, great. You know, many shows ago, you did a story about when they pointed the Hubble telescope to a section of the sky.
Yes.
And I'm not going to do any justice if I try to explain it the way you did. But what they saw were tons of galaxies in that little image. Do you remember? Do you recall this?
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
I remember you saying that that they expected to see young.
Yeah, we made predictions at the time that they wanted to see into the farthest reaches of the galaxy, to the edge of the galaxy, because if they saw that far, they would see. The farther out you look, the farther back in time you're looking, because you're seeing things the way it was a long time ago, because that light, it's so far away, and light only travels about 6 trillion miles per year. So if something is 36 trillion miles away, it's going to take 6,000 years for the light to get to us.
So would that mean that the universe is older? Could somebody actually make that conclusion?
Oh, people could make that conclusion, and that if there's no creator, then and we're seeing the light from that far away, then it would be a natural conclusion that the Earth is at least millions or billions of years old. But if the Bible says that God created light, and God created the stars, and He stretched out the heavens, then. And if God did that, then obviously he can fill the universe with light on the first day. If God could create the universe, He could fill it with light. And that's what He did. So what Hubble pointed to a tiny black speck in the night sky. Well, for Hubble, I guess, a tiny, tiny speck. And it stayed on that speck for so long that it was able to develop a photograph. And a beautiful photograph it was. And what we predicted was that the scientists will be wrong, that they will not see nascent galaxies. They won't see galaxies in the very beginning of their development. What they will see are galaxies that look just like all the other galaxies we see. And sure enough, they developed, you can find their pictures on the web. They developed the picture, and many galaxies are just like the galaxies you see with normal telescopes, normal good telescopes. And so we, you know, the pastor, Denver Bible Church, some little Christian talk show, made a prediction contrary to that of the astrophysicist and the evolutionist, and we were right and they were wrong, because they're wrong. The universe did not form from a Big Bang.
Okay, Bob.
Does we'll that make
up
sense?
The good work. Oh, yeah, it sure does. It's just I want to hear the story again.
Hey,
I want to
let me give you a little bit more information.
Oh, please.
Have you heard about a figure in trying to map the universe? Have you heard of a straw man figure? Have you ever heard that term?
Yes.
But with the map of the universe. There's now, I don't have any notes in front of me, but there is an astronomer. I think she might be at an Ivy Coast school like Harvard. And she began to do something that people hadn't done much of. She started to map the galaxies on their estimated distances on a three-dimensional map. And she got this incredible design in the universe, a couple things she's got going. The most incredible thing was that she found that the galaxies were not randomly scattered, but picture a balloon, a huge balloon out in the universe, and the galaxies were only on the surface of the balloon, not in the middle. And not only is there one balloon, but there are many balloons, hundreds or thousands or millions, we don't know. And the skin of the balloon is galaxies. And inside, there's nothing. And that's how she's beginning to map it. And she's so well-respected that a lot of astronomers think she's got something there. She might be right. That might be the overall structure to the universe. But the galaxies are the building blocks of these huge spherical worlds or spheres. And if that's true, they're really in turmoil, because how could that evolve? It couldn't evolve. It's not possible. That kind of structure at that level. There are so many things astronomers have found out there that could never have occurred from a Big Bang 20 billion years ago. Just couldn't do it. With overwhelming evidence, that story's not true. But the alternative is so distasteful that there is actually a creator that scientists don't care how unscientific they are as long as they find ways to reject God. So, hey, thanks for asking, Johnny.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. How about an eclipse of the sun? How about that? When you see a solar eclipse. Now, how is it that we can see a solar eclipse? What makes that possible? The sun is pretty far away, right? How far away is the sun? Oh, it's somewhere out there, 93 million miles away. And the moon is a lot closer. The moon is just about 240,000 some miles away. And why is it that the moon can pass in front of the sun and we have a perfect solar eclipse? Perfect. How can that be? Now, remember earlier I said we had about maybe 57 moons circling the nine planets of our solar system? Of those 57 moons, how many of them create this awe-inspiring, perfect solar eclipse? How many of them? Well, astronomers have figured it out. I didn't do the work myself, but astronomers have figured it out, and the answer is zero. None of them. None of the moons. You know what the odds are? What are the odds that a moon, a random-sized moon, a random distance from a planet, the planet a random distance from the sun, that that moon could create a perfect solar eclipse for its planet? Well, the reason we could have a perfect solar eclipse is because the sun is 400 times the diameter of the moon. 400 times. And to have a perfect solar eclipse, the sun also has to be 400 times further away from the Earth than the moon is. And because we have that mathematically perfect symmetry, that's why we get to enjoy the sun's corona, its beautiful outer atmosphere. We can enjoy that. No astronaut visiting any other planet in our solar system will be able to see that, because that's a beauty and a joy that God gave to us to show his special design for our world and the special care and the joy he put into it. That couldn't happen by chance. I mean, everything, all these things couldn't all happen by chance. That's inane. And not only that, not only they can't happen by chance, but some of these things are absolutely contrary to the laws of physics, like Venus spinning backwards. So if the solar system was 4.5 billion years old, then, Owen, it might be another billion years old by the time your kids, your grandkids get to high school. But if the solar system is 4.5 billion years old, then by now, all these asteroids and comets, meteors, they would all be sucked in to the sun. That's it. They'd be sucked into the sun. These short-term orbiting bodies, they'd be gone by now, because the sun is like a vacuum cleaner. And it cleans up the solar system, so we have a nice clean solar system. And they couldn't survive for that amount of time. In fact, we've seen them change their orbits and disappear just in a short time that men have been observing. And if they've been out there doing this for 4.5 billion years, that shouldn't be. And, I mean, Jupiter has a little moon called Io. Io is a pretty tiny moon. And if Io was formed when Jupiter was formed, when the Earth was formed 4.5 billion years ago, give or take 100 million years, then Io, okay, all that was molten back then. But by now, it's such a little moon out in the cold of space, way further from the sun than the Earth is, that by now, Io would no longer be molten. It would be cold. But yet Io, we sent a NASA drive-by shooting with a camera, and it got a photograph of a volcano erupting on Io.
We all know Bob Enyard is America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. But even Bob is pro-choice sometimes. Not when it comes to which baby should live and which baby should die, but when it comes to three different products you can receive for $24.95 a month. The first product is the monthly Bible study. Bob has presented the Word of God to his Bible study group here in Denver for over 5 years. You can benefit from Bob's years of study and teaching by signing up today. Choice number two is Denver Bible Church's monthly sermons. Each month you'll receive 4 sermons Bob delivered at our church home here in Denver. These sermons are not even available on the web, so this is your only opportunity to hear them. And the final choice is the weekly Worldview. Doug McBurney, who sits in with Bob on Friday nights, goes solo once a week on his own show, The Weekly Worldview. We'll send you each one of Doug's shows with his irreverent and hilarious take on the news of the day. So whether you choose the monthly Bible study, the Sunday morning sermons, or the weekly Worldview, it's only $24.95 a month. Please remember, it's your financial support that keeps this ministry going.
Do you need a quick update on Bob's political and biblical views, or do you just want to share Bob Benyard's teachings with others easily? Whatever you need, the article pack we offer here at KGOV.com is right for you. It deals with everyday issues like nicer than God Christians, miracles, judging, a Christian response to terrorist attacks, and more. So whether you want to spread the word or just get a simple and quick understanding of Bob's ministries, the $5 article pack is right for you.
We're back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-N-YARTS, 1-800-836-9278. Now, real quick about the mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg. He's running against the Democrat. You got the Democrat versus the Republican. And conservatives, Christians around the country are really rooting for Michael Bloomberg. I don't know why, because he hung around with the pro-abort Mayor Giuliano, whose personal life was a disaster, had an affair on his wife. His wife kicks him out of the mayoral mansion there on the East River. And his wife stars in some filthy, vulgar, off-Broadway play that I wouldn't even name the title of the play because it's so vulgar. And so that's Giuliani. It's pretty much anti-Christian. And, you know, even an anti-Christian pro-abort, if you're in a battle, you might shoot back and hit the bad guys or try to thwart the bad guys. So Giuliani responded as a leader would in that situation. But why are conservatives, why do they support Michael Bloomberg? So what he's done around the country, if you're a doctor and you're in your residency at a hospital, a residency program, they've not forced doctors to take abortion training. They've always made it an elective, and doctors have agreed to take abortion training because it's just not very popular. It's hard for Planned Parenthood to hire baby killers. That's why so many of them are getting old. They don't want people protesting them on Christmas morning outside their home, pro-lifers, because they're baby killers, so they'd rather do something else. Well, the Republican mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg, has now changed that in New York City, where residents in the city's public hospitals will be routinely trained to perform abortions under his program. And so now it's not an elective. It's now a mandatory for residents, unless some of them go out of their way to put themselves in the spotlight and go for a religious objection. Then they could get out of it, but it's going to be mandatory for everyone else. What a tragedy. How many Christians cheered when all over this country when Bloomberg was elected? It's like cheering a Nazi who's going to kill the Jews. And you say, well, at least he's a member of my party. That's not going to sound like a real strong defense at the judgment seat of Christ. It's just not. All right, let's go to South Bend. Jerry, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. Great show. Enjoy it.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, just wanted to pass along to all your Indiana listeners.
Yes.
Us stubborn people who don't change our clocks every, twice a year.
That's right. Indiana leads the country in keeping the normal time. And the rest of us get confused and we switch back and forth.
Right. So we will be staying at our clocks, but just wanted to remind people that the show will be airing live at 8 o'clock next week, not 9 o'clock, so they need to make sure that if they're going to call in or listen,
8 o'clock,
they're listening at 8 o'clock.
Because Bob and Yart Live stays with Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And so Eastern Time has been Indiana Time for the past half a year, and now Central Time will be Indiana Time.
right now. Michigan, 5 miles north of us, they'll still be at 9 o'clock because they change their clocks.
Because they change.
Right. So we can can actually leave Indiana at 8:05 and arrive in Michigan at 9:05.
So that's right.
So people in Michigan can go back in time.
Yes, they can. So people in Niles, Michigan, could continue tuning in at 9.
Right.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure that program note got around here before the weekend changes take place.
Thank you. Now, Jerry, this is Jerry, our affiliate, Jerry.
Yes.
Right? And, Jerry, thank you very much for helping keep this show on the air and functioning as you do. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Glad to do it.
Could I ask you a question?
Sure.
You're familiar with Bob and Your Live from years ago on TV when you were the – hey, Jerry, you were one of the early crew members.
Yes.
You were our audio engineer.
Right. And you've made an upgrade in audio engineer since you've gone to radio.
We have.
Yes.
Well, how's that?
Much less feedback.
Oh, you're right. You know, and we paid through the nose for this equipment. But, hey, Jerry, I want to ask you a question. We had a 25-year-old woman become a Christian at church, Denver Bible Church, on Sunday. And when you were familiar with Bob and Your Live, did you hear Christians criticizing us because we were too mean and we're not loving and Christ-like? Had you ever heard that kind of criticism?
All the time.
All the time?
All the time.
You mean from Christians?
Yeah, from people calling in. And I remember one woman, she was so angry, I think she stayed on the phone all weekend. The show ended on Friday, and there she was back on Monday still going.
Oh, I remember that woman. That was a funny story.
But then I also remember a person named Amy who had called in, and she was not too happy with you.
No, she said a terrible word.
Right, and then about a year later, she had called back, and she was a Christian.
Yeah, and I was pretty mean to her. I agree with that. And people called in and said, Bob, because of how you treated Amy, she will never become a Christian.
Right.
And I said, no, I think it's the opposite. Because finally, somebody loved her enough to tell her the truth. That right. She was sleeping around. She had a child out of wedlock. She didn't love her own child enough to make sure her little girl had a dad.
Right. I remember listening to that. And she, when she had called in, she had become a Christian. But she was still a little reluctant to say that you had something to do with it. And yet she said, ever since that conversation, she had a hard time going to sleep. The conversation just stuck in her mind and stuck in her mind.
Yeah, she said for a year she remembered what I had said to her. And then because she had told me she was good enough to get to heaven. And then about a year later, she was in a Bible study with her aunt. And by the way, we have this video. It's called Amy's Call. We've sold hundreds and hundreds of them. And people could get it at 1-888-NYAR. It's really fun to watch. But she said when her aunt said to her, you cannot be good enough to earn salvation, she finally humbled herself and agreed and prayed to ask Jesus to save her. And what a beautiful story. And that was real neat. But the reason I bring that up and ask you about that is because this gal who became a Christian on Easter Sunday, she had come to our church with friends of hers about 2 months earlier. And when she left, she was so mad at me, she was shaking. And she told her friends that ours was the mean church because we said mean things about Hindus, for example. She had Hindu friends, and we said that Hindus are going to hell because they reject the Creator and they worship the creation. And she didn't like that. And there were other things she didn't like, like we said, that abortion is killing children. So she was really mad at our church. And she called back her friend and said on Easter and said, I'd like to go with you again to church. And they were somewhat shocked. So they invited her, of course, and she came. And after church, she talked, and actually with my family, for I think it was 3.5-4 hours. And she became a Christian. And it was a really neat and beautiful time, Jerry.
Right. Well, one thing people who are listening may not know, but having worked on the crew, I was amazed that the show aired at midnight Eastern time. You know, we're out here, you know, and doing the show.
Midnight.
Sometimes we did 2 shows a night.
Yeah.
And after the shows, there were people who had called in angry at you, and you would stay on the air or talk to them afterwards, and we'd all be kind of waiting around, like, come on, Bob, we got stuff to do.
Right.
2 hours later, said, oh, what a nice person, you know, and they had gotten saved off the air 2 hours later. a lot of things that people hadn't seen. So the stuff that they saw on the TV and here on the radio, there's a lot more that goes on, and I know that you had done behind the scenes that people didn't even know about.
Well, not just me, our whole wonderful crew. I mean, you and I could stay on the air complimenting one another for another hour, but the whole crew and everybody willing to work and to sacrifice to reach people for the Lord.
Right, and I think it's just important that people know that there's more to Bob and Your Live and the ministry and what's going on than just what happens on the air.
Well,
there are farther reaches that they may not know about.
Sure, and the goal of bringing people in, when we got to pray with homosexuals and pro-aborts and atheists and Jews and different people who had strong stands against God, and we got to pray with them to get saved. And with all the homosexuals that got saved over the years, and all the Christians who criticized us because we didn't love homosexuals, and I'd ask those Christians, I'd say, how many homosexuals have you prayed with to get saved? How many? Because it's part of my life. I enjoy doing that. And so it's frustrating. We have a reasonably small ministry. We're not one of the larger ministries in the country. And yet, Jerry, there's a guy, he contacts me once every great while. He was a longtime homosexual in Indianapolis. He saw my show. He became a Christian. Now he's a Christian activist, witnessing, leading other people to the Lord, fighting against abortion, standing up against homosexuality. I mean, we're so thrilled with that kind of fruit. But you know, it's a bummer that so many Christians, they're not judgmental against child molesters or rapists or murderers, but they're judgmental against Christians who are trying to forcefully confront the wicked. That's the only group they're judgmental against, is other Christians in certain ministries. So I don't know how you figure that out.
I try not to. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So, but just keep up the good work.
Thank
and again,
you.
Reminder for those Indiana people, 8 o'clock Central Time, whether you're in Indianapolis, I'm listening on KGov or here in South Bend, 8 o'clock next week.
All right. Thank
you
so much, Jerry.
Say hi to the family.
God bless. And say hello to your wife and your beautiful children.
We'll do that.
And
she'll be 4 weeks on Sunday, our new daughter.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks, Bob. Take care, and God bless your family, too.
All right. Thank you. What a neat guy. Jerry Janowski in South Bend, Indiana. When we get to heaven and God wants to hand out rewards for those who have reached others, not only Jerry, but our crew and our South Bend crew that worked with the show for the years we did the show in South Bend and here in Denver. There's a lot of rewards to go around, just like there's a lot of guilt to go around for the wicked. There's a lot of rewards to go around for the righteous. And not that we work for God for the rewards. God himself is the reward. And the souls that come to him are our eternal rewards because of the fellowship we can have with them forever. So, hey, praise the Lord. I didn't want to give the young woman's name out, who became a Christian on Resurrection Sunday at Denver Bible Church, just for her own privacy's sake. But there's another neat thing about her story. She said to me, she said, well, when we started talking, she said, I'm pro-choice. And this week she said to her friends, she said, I changed my position. I'm not pro-choice any longer. Does Bob and Yurt remind you to do right and risk the consequences?
Do right.